Romans, the 8th chapter, one of the most important chapters in the entire Word of God. This is the chapter when I gave my life to the Lord and haven't gone back from that day and time many years ago. It was this chapter that helped a young man who was in and out, up and down, off and on, to find out who I really was and who I could be and who Jesus already was as far as I'm concerned. Romans, the 8th chapter. You'll never be a strong Christian without some kind of an understanding of Romans, the 8th chapter. So many Christians live in Romans 7. It's a rough neighborhood. People are always dying in Romans 7. They never come to life. I've met some folks, they can die more and come up with less life. Romans 7, you take one step forward, three steps backwards. You can't get there from here in Romans chapter 8. Can't get there from here unless you back God's U-Haul up to the door and say, where are you going? I'm moving to Romans chapter 8. I'm moving to Romans chapter 8. You may have had the most victorious week or month of your life. This may have been the most crushing, demanding, frustrating time of your life. Please listen to me. There is no way that I can be sensitive to all levels. I've just got to tell it like it is today. I've been preaching this to myself for some time. It's the bedrock truth. This is the bottom line. That until you have an understanding of Romans chapter 8, you'll never consistently live victory. Oh, you'll live it for a while, but then the next time I see you, it's the same story, the same chapter all over again. Let's read a few of these verses. Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't get away from it. The flesh, the Spirit. The flesh, the Spirit. The Spirit or the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You'll never see a cat flying and a bird meowing. They know what their calling in life is all about. You'll never hear an eagle barking like a dog. You certainly never see an eagle burying a bone. They're distinct creations of God. But yeah, but that's the animal kingdom. Well, where did we go wrong? If the cat knows how to meow and the dog knows how to bark and the bird knows how to chirp and the eagle knows how to soar, we better find out what we're born for and what we do best. And sometimes people train animals to do some strange things, but that's not what they're born for. They do that with great effort. And that's why so many Christians are in a difficult situation in life. They're trying to live something out of the flesh motivation. The only way it's going to work for you is that the Spirit of the living God reigns supreme in your life. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It cannot be. You're talking about two different planets here. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If all I think about is my flesh, what I look like, what I feel like, what I think like, just all about me, 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 I can't please God because my whole thought is on me. I'm preoccupied with me. Honey, there's more to life than you. I hear quite often, well, you know, everybody's talking about me. You're not that important. I'm not that important. The devil will say, everybody's talking about you. That's not true. None of us are that important. But the word of God said, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 13, for if we live after the flesh, we will die. That's pretty final. But if ye through the Spirit, and that's the only way you're going to put the flesh to death, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have not in any way, form, or fashion received a spirit of fear from God. If you picked it up, God didn't give it to you, and guess where else it comes from? God is not the author of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's go down to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself. Someone just a few days ago said, well, what value is all this prayer language and spirit thing? For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And this verse has been made so crystal clear to me over this last year. And we know that all things work together. Not some things, not a few things. Win a few, lose a few. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, for them who are the called according to his purpose. Now verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, somebody's talking about me. Let's look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. He's the only one that has the right to condemn. Yea, rather, he's risen again. He's even at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Now, if God's talking against you and making intercession for you, he's got his wires crossed. God's interceding for us in our behalf. And then it goes down to verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That probably is one of the biggest questions the entire world and the entire Word of God. Who or what can separate you from the love of Christ? If you can show it to me, if you could prove it to me, you're in trouble. We're all in trouble. And then it goes down the checklist. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution? We've had a lot of attaboys, and we've had some strange reactions, but it's just a tiny, tiny minority in number. You see, when you do something great for God, most people see it and recognize it and get excited about it, but persecution does come on the turf. Or famine. Most of us don't seem to have been subjected to that too much here lately. Or nakedness. Or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul knew what that was literally. He gave his life for Jesus. But nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Nay, in all these things, tell me your things. Give me your checklist of your things. In all of these things, the good, the bad, the ugly, the exciting, the sad, I must say what God said in all of these things. I am more than a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not how I feel. It's not how you feel, unless I let how you feel affect how I feel. We're more than conquerors through him. This is not mind over matter. This is winning through Jesus. For I'm persuaded. Now there you go. You know, you can't put a persuaded man or woman down if they're persuaded according to the word of God. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, in just looking at a few of these things that I've shared with you here today, what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? It means to subdue. It means to overcome, to get the overwhelming victory, to win a decisive victory. And I mean, it's not as sometimes sporting events. They may have only won by one, but they won. That'll win a hockey game. That'll win a baseball game. That'll win a football game. One is all you need. One in your corner is all you need. And you know who's in your corner. We win the overwhelming victory. Now let's look at this and ask God to give us some insight here real quickly, because there's no way I can preach all this message, but I'm going to share as much as I possibly can. God's will for you, you know what God's will for you? If you're not born again, God's first will for you is to be born again. But if you're born again, God's will for you is to be more than a conqueror. If you're born again, what is God's will for me? I'll tell you what God's will is for you. You may not be there. There's times I haven't been there. But I'm not going to quit and I'm not going to give up. If you're born again, God's will for you is to be more than a conqueror. Not less, not just, more than a conqueror. Not less, not just, but more than a conqueror. And you know where being a conqueror starts? It starts in your spirit, believing that God said what he meant and he meant what he said. And there's got to be a transfer to your thinking, the renewing of your mind. And there's got to be a release in this little thing we call the tongue. You can't think victory and speak defeat and win the victory. You self-destruct the promise of God as far as you're concerned. Folks, we've got to get a new grip on this. I see it more often than I should. You can attend this church or any other church and not really know who you are or what you have in Jesus Christ. There's too much religious talk around this church. And dear God, we preach it, we teach it, we sing it, we shout it. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he or she is a new creation. Old things are past, and behold, all things are become new. Pastor Bob Nichols, where are you in your Christian walk? I'm in the process of becoming all things new. I was saved the moment I believed. Saved the moment my faith said yes to Jesus. I reread what the thief on the cross said just a few moments ago. He didn't even pray the traditional sinner's prayer, but he looked over at Jesus as best he could. And he said, remember me this day. Remember me. He didn't pray the traditional sinner's prayer. Every word, letter, perfect. But you know the sinner's prayer is from the heart anyway. God hears the heart. God is, the Holy Spirit's an excellent translator. Some have only been known to say, Jesus! And they took their last breath. But I'll tell you where they took their next breath in eternity. Everything doesn't have to be letter perfect with God, but the heart has to be reaching out. So God has called us not to be less than, and oh God have mercy, I've been there so many times. God hasn't called us to just barely be overcomers. But he's called us to be more than overcomers. And that thing has become established in a new way in my spirit this week that I cannot articulate. I've gone back and just recategorized some things. And I said, you know, sometimes you kind of slide a little bit here and you say, well, you know, someday, someday. But I tell you, everything's on the front burner, more than conquerors. Front burner. Now, more than conquerors. More than conquerors. That's God's will for you. It doesn't cost any more to have God's perfect will. It costs you not to have God's perfect will. Please listen to me today. God's best is not more costly. Missing God's best is what's costly. Now, as I looked at these things from God's word, I'll tell you, this is exciting. You see, by faith in God's word and promise, more than conquerors over our past, our present, and our future. Say it with me. By faith in God's word and his promises in this life, I am more than conquerors over my past, my present, and my future. You see, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. See, that's where so many Christians miss it. Carnal, soulish realm, thoughts, words, actions, deeds. And we wonder why we stay in the ditch. The only way you're coming out of the ditch is to say, uh-oh, my tongue needs to go back to Calvary, go back to the Word of God. And by the grace of God, I'm going to think and say and speak and believe what God said. To them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, not just, but more. Now you see, this is where all of us are coming from. Everything we face as a couple, we're either going to face it in a spiritual way, or the first thing that's going to come out of our mouth, you know, that scares me to death. It just scares me to death. Well, I'll be there to say the last rites. But Pastor, I'm so afraid. There's the other shovel right there. I'm so afraid. What are you afraid of? Fear is believing that one or more of God's promises will not come to pass. Fear is believing that one or more of God's promises will not come to pass. And I'll tell you, I'm sharing this from a heart that is walking tender before God, because I realize that this generation is just like a banjo chord or a violin string. People are pulled, they're stretched to the maximum. You don't know when someone's going to go off. But if we walk in the Spirit and desire not to walk in the flesh, that's what I want. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to pray in the Spirit. I want to preach and teach in the Spirit. I don't want to pastor in the flesh. I get so weary going around. I don't go around those camps anymore. What's the latest buzz? What's the latest gimmick? What's the latest cash raiser, you know? It's just like this thing's a Las Vegas slot machine. You can get 3 Bibles in a row, you win the jackpot. The kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of God is real. And where God calls, he will help us. This thing of the flesh and the spirit, I see it all the time. I mean, I just come out of somebody's presence in the spirit and I say, oh, it's so wonderful to pastor. Oh, glory to God. I get to do this for a living. And then I walk right into a bunch of negativism, and everybody's let me down, and this has let me down, the church has let me down. And I'm not talking about, hey, it's all right to get together and open your heart, and I do that very frequently in trying to help people. But when it's all said and done, we got to go back to what works. We've got to go back to what works. I mean, today you may be flat broke, flat sick, flat depressed. Your back may be against the wall, but you've come to the right house to tell you that it's not where you've been, but it's where you're going. It's not what you're doing, but it's what you've done, but it's what you're doing now that counts with God. You are more than a conqueror over your past, your present, and your future. When it said there is therefore now no condemnation, it means there is no condemnation. There is no guilt, legitimate guilt over your BC, your before Christ life. Now, you may have some penalties to pay for that. You may have done some things. You may have dug in. There's some things to pay out of and some things to make adjustments out of. But I think you understand the balance. You see, you're more than conquerors over your mind. This is what the Bible's teaching us. You're more than conquerors over your mind. If your mind runs your life, you're a mess. If your thought life runs your life, you're a mess. Because the carnal man is not subject to the things of God, neither indeed can be. If every time something comes out of my mouth prompted by my carnal spirit, you're going to hear doubt and fear and unbelief, and you can't get there from here. I'm telling you, since 1964, I could write an encyclopedia on the times when I couldn't get there from here. I couldn't make it. There was nothing. Not an encouraging voice. Not a smile. Not. But somehow I just kept coming back to Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's what God's saying to us today. What do you want me to tell you? You can't make it? What do you want me to tell you? What you hear in a lot of places, well, you know, Brother Nichols, we all have to suffer. We've run that spade in the ground too. I'll tell you, even when we're suffering, we've got more victory than suffering folks ever dream possible. I mean, when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, we've got more victory, more word, more anticipation, more vision, more future. We may be knocked down, but bless God, we're not knocked out. Just give me a little time. I'll come through this. God will bring us through. You're more than a conqueror over your mind. You're more than a conqueror over your body. You know what you need to confess every day of your life? You need to say, I walk today and every day in divine health. But Pastor, you don't understand. I feel better than I've ever felt in my life. You missed the whole point. Right over. When you're feeling good is when you stand in victory. When things are going your way is when you stand in victory. When your body is feeling greater than it's ever felt before is when you stand in victory. You know, you're young, you think you'll never have a tired day. You think you'll never have a sick day. You know, when you're strong in certain areas, you don't understand other people. Now, I understand my weaknesses, but I don't understand your weaknesses because I'm not weak in that area. Watch it. Your day in school's coming, and the examination will prove where you are. Over your body, every day you need to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I walk today and every day in the divine health of the Son of the living God that was purchased through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I have a sound mind. I heard it just this last week. Well, you know, they say the first thing to go is your mind, and I guess mine's going. Yeah, it is, honey. You're on a slide that you don't even realize you're on. I have the mind of Christ. I started about 3 years ago saying, I don't forget things. Now, there's some things that still slip through, but hey, the percentage has drastically decreased. Well, I just forget things all the time. I have the mind of Christ. I have the wisdom of God. And I've been praying lately. I don't forget things. I remember what I need to remember. Forget what I need to forget. There's some things you need to forget. That's what keeps you up at night. You're more than a conqueror over your mind. More than a conqueror over your body. You're more than a conqueror over your emotions. Was it Smith Wigglesworth that said, I don't let my body tell me how my body feels. I tell my body how it's to feel. More than conquerors over through his resurrection life in you. Do you understand that on the worst day of your life, the resurrection life of the power of God, you may not feel it, but you won't feel it until it's faith activated. Faith is word activated. The faith of God in you is word. Some of you are getting a hold of this. Wonder when he's going to be through. You may be through already and you don't know it. Get a hold of this, saints. Get a hold of this. This will help you at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. We all get tired. We all get weary. That's why the Bible said, be not weary in due season. Be not weary, but in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Be not weary. You know, you get weary. The more you talk about weary, the more weary you get. The joy of the Lord that is your strength. This is so simple. Man, I get so tired of these basics. Do you get tired of taking your keys out of your pocket? You get tired of taking your keys out of your pocket and say, man, I do this all the time. Man, this is so boring. I don't want to do it. There's got to be another way than me taking my keys out of my pocket and putting them in the ignition. Do you realize how many times a week I do this? And then I forget my keys and leave them in the house and I have to go back. Why'd you go back? Because it's not going to work without the key. What I'm talking about today is not going to work without the key. You don't put a Ford key in a Chevrolet and a Chevrolet key in a Ford. And so you say, well, you know, Brother Nichols, I'm not like everyone else. You know, some people just get this thing down. They're such cookie cutters. Yeah, every day millions of people get their key out of their product just alike. If you've got a Ford product, you'll have a key something like I've got. If you have a Chevrolet product, you'll have a key something like millions of people. They do it all the time. They could do it in their sleep. They get tired of it. There ought to be a way of just pressing a button, but then every thief would know where it is. You get your key out of your pocket. You get that faith key out of your pocket because nothing's going to work without this key. And my key won't work in your ignition, and your key won't work in my ignition. But when I believe it with all my heart, and when I speak it with my mouth, and when I put it in the ignition, room, there it goes. I get so tired of being like everybody else. I have to get my key out of my pocket and put it in that ignition. And if I'm going down the road, I'm tired of that key being ignition. I'm going to turn it off. And then you're headed for more trouble. I am so aggravated. People all over this Metroplex stop at gas stations and they get out of their car and it's raining and they get wet. And sometimes your car doesn't work right, and sometimes the nozzle, you punch the wrong button, then you have to start all over again. But if you're out of gas, you'll never get gas until you do what everybody else does that puts gas in their vehicle. If you're out of faith, if you're out of hope, if you're out of love, you'll never get more. You'll never activate what God has already planted in you until you do what everybody else does. This is not a Baptist thing, a Methodist thing, a charismatic thing, a Catholic thing, an independent thing. This is a God thing. You get the key of faith out of your pocket and you put it in the ignition and you start the motor just like everybody else. But I don't believe in that. I'm not going to do it. Well, just walk then, honey. Just walk. Just take a long walk. We're more than conquerors over fear. Someone said, fear knocked on the door. I sent faith to answer and fear disappeared. I like that. We're more than conquerors over any sufferings of this present time. Some of you going through stuff with your families, stuff with a former companion, stuff with whoever. But in all of these things, all sufferings, more than conquerors over all of our weaknesses, infirmities. That's one of the key words of infirmities. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. You know, folks, I'm telling you, as you look at this, this thing is just, there's just no way to find a stopping place. Now, you say, well, preacher, how far will this message go? Well, let's see. Let's go over here to the same 8th chapter of Romans. Who can separate us from Christ's love? Good question. Can tribulation do it? That's not talking about the great tribulation. That's talking about stuff you go through sometimes, some part of the week. Distress or stress, we're all touched by it. Too many things to do, too many places to go, too much to do. Shall distress, shall persecution? I mean, some people, you can't believe what comes out of their mouth, but all that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to have some stuff to go through. Shall famine? You can't starve Jesus out of your life. Shall nakedness? So they took all your clothes. You had no wardrobe. No, that won't do it. Shall peril or sword? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nay, in all these things, we are We are. I am. You are. You may never be, but in the mind of God, you are more than a conqueror. Not less than, more than. Not less than, not just, but more than conquerors through Christ. There is no condemnation in Christ as we walk in the Spirit. Doesn't make any difference what anybody says about you. Is it true? Well, if that's the situation, we need to come do some negotiating with God. There is no condemnation. If you're in Christ Jesus, walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. There are so many professing believers that live a life of flesh from sunup till sundown. And they think a life of the flesh in their dreams. Folks, we're going to have to walk in the life of the Spirit. Think like God thinks. Read what God wants us to read. Say what God wants us to say. As I said, you can be weary of putting gas in your tank. My daughters used to love to drive my cars the last few years they were home, because they said, "Daddy, you always have gas in your car." If there's one thing I've ever done that sometimes drives my wife up the wall, I can have a half tank of gas, and I see a gas station, I think,